for right now, just let's mute and get our Bibles out and open them to the book that we were supposed to be finished with, but I guess we're not. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To the book of Daniel. And let's go to chapter 10, which we were in last week. And what's happening this week happened last week, where we were not supposed to have any more Daniel classes, and then another Daniel class happened. So, praise God. And we are not complaining, Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you so much, and the way you are with the Word. And at the end of our class, Geraldine is going to sing us a worship song. So praise God for that as well. Yes, we saw it. Ooh, it looks like a new guitar. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So we look forward to hearing a song from Geraldine after the sharing. So anyway, as you're turning to Daniel chapter 10, let's pray. And I myself am praying this prayer. Look forward to seeing and hearing what the Spirit has to share with us today. So, Holy Spirit, we love you. We love how you are in the Word of God. You come from the depths of God's own being, and you bring us things that aren't words, but Him. Him in ways that are just life-giving, renewing our minds, flooding our temple with water, filling us with Spirit. You bring forth Jesus and form Him in us, and you use the Word in the right way. You use it for the heart of God. You use it for the increase of Christ. You use it so we might bear His dying and be His bride, a temple that is filled with the right Jesus. So do what's in your heart today, Lord. It's not so much that we are gathering unto a teaching, but we are gathering unto a person that we long for, that we want more of within ourselves and out from us. So do the eternal things as you do best. Be our minister and our guide. Guide us into all truth. Guide us into Him who is the truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, all right, let's go to chapter 10. And like I said, last week we really had a wonderful time, even though it was short. We had a wonderful time in the beginnings of chapter 10, so I would just refer you to re-listen or listen to last week's sharing, because it gives a lot of context for what's happening in chapter 10 and the season that chapter 10 brings. And I will, you know, recap just a little bit in regards to chapter 10, and that is that at this point historically in time, the captivity has ended. The 70 years have passed, and the season of being stuck in exile in Babylon is over. And therefore, there are many, because of the favor of God that is working through the king of Persia, who is King Cyrus, because of the favor of God that is in that world ruler, the people of God, the Jews, are given much provision, protection, and covering to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And there many are at this time. We've got people like Nehemiah and Ezra, those types of books, the pre-exile books and the things that are happening therein. That's going on during this season in chapter 10. And we read last week how there was a commentator that brought out a really, really insightful point. And this commentator said, what was Daniel doing still in Babylon or in Persia or in foreign lands when he was legally allowed to go back home, back to his own people, back to, you know, the Jerusalem he loves? And the second question this commentator asked us that we read last week was, why is he mourning? Why is he fasting and afflicting his soul? Why is he in the state that he is in when people are returning to rebuild, when the exile is over? And that question really did open the door to consider the things of God's heart and to press a little deeper past the surface movements in the earth into the movements within God's own heart for the Jerusalem that He sees and the things that He desires. And I believe that these are the things that are affecting Daniel and the things that he's pressing into and seeing and carrying within his own heart. And so that's kind of where we left off and where we're going to look more deeply into now. So starting in chapter 10 and beginning in verse 2 of chapter 10 in Daniel, let's begin reading there. It says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. And so I want to just focus in on the words, "in those days." And just take a moment to pause. And I believe that so much of the ministry of the Holy Spirit happens in the pauses, happens in the Selah, happens not in the rapid reading of multiple scriptures, although there's a time for that, but in that tasty morsel of one or two words that resonate with something deep in the heart of God, well beneath the surface of just that black ink on white paper, that there is something going on deep inside what that word is being spoken out from, in God's heart, from God's view, that we need to take a Selah moment to find with the Holy Spirit, who knows the depths of God and wants to bring us there. He wants to bring us there. And so we find it in these words, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 weeks, in the days when the captivity was over." Those days. In the days when people are excited and returning to rebuild Jerusalem. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Wow. I, Daniel, was mourning in those days. Why? Why was he mourning in those days? And again, I think it's because he was feeling deeper into the heart of God and the need of God for that time. Verse 3 says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were finished. And so there again, you hear, he's not feasting, he's not celebrating, he's not returning to life as normal now that his chastisement is over. And isn't that different than the natural human tendency, that once we have finished our 70 years of being in a season of being dealt with of God, and we've studied that in our past 12 classes, how he, since he was 15 years old, has been in his 70-year dealing of God to form Christ in him. He's been in a 70-year dealing to bring forth the Son in him in a governmental way. At the end of the 70 years, the natural human tendency would be, I am going to party. I am going to eat pleasant things. I am going to drink wine. I am going to celebrate that I survived the 70-year dealing of God that took up almost my entire life, that I survived the lion's den, that I survived the fiery furnace and the ordeal with Nebuchadnezzar and the temper of Nebuchadnezzar and the mighty, you know, way that he would deal with anyone who just slightly displeased him. I survived Nebuchadnezzar. I survived Belshazzar. I'm surviving King Darius. I'm surviving king after king that just takes the heads of their enemies right off without hardly a thought. I survived that and brought forth Jesus in the middle of a foreign land and stood for the one true God and was a representation of him, an ambassador among foreign nations. I was that by the grace of God, by the life of God. Now I need a vacation. Now it's time for me to live my life. I'm in my early 80s. I haven't had much time for me. I haven't much me time. Hasn't been a real factor in my whole life as an adult. So now it's my time. It's my time to live my life. Because I survived God's dealing and God's calling on my life. And there's not much more left here, down here, for me, but to just enjoy my final days of retirement. Maybe we could think of this as his retirement years, where he should retire and go fishing back in Judah, back in the places that he grew up, that he loves and has great memories from his own people in his own country, that it's his rightful place to do that. And maybe the Lord did, who knows, would be like our God to do such a thing. Say, Daniel, go back, enjoy yourself. You know, of course, that wasn't a real option, being that Jerusalem was totally being contested by the neighbors, and it was very difficult, and all that really wasn't the case in Jerusalem at the time. But the thought of it is what we're speaking of more, the concept of it and how we think. But to Daniel, the 70 years wasn't a dealing. And to Daniel, it wasn't something that ended at a certain day, even a certain prophesied day, even a certain day that was ordained by God, who set the 70 years in motion through Jeremiah, you know, not through Jeremiah, from his own being, but even confirmed it through Jeremiah, wrote it down, gave it to Daniel, put his signet and his signature on it, if you will, and said, 70 years, it's over. You're done. You're free. You're free. Live. Be free. Be you. You've done enough for me. But Daniel doesn't think like that. Daniel isn't wired like that. He doesn't live like that. His heart is hardwired into God. His being is the being of the Lord within him. Something happened deep inside of Daniel. All of those 70 years in captivity, all that process God brought him through, that changed him on the inside. It changed him. It removed those things and brought forth another, a lamb, the true king, within him, enthroned and formed, living, breathing, and governing inside of him. He wasn't wired the same way anymore. He belonged to Jesus through oneness. And those kind of things weren't, it's not even that word option would register in a person like Daniel. They weren't thoughts or motivations or meditations or desires. His desire was towards the Jerusalem of God's heart. His innermost being, his inward parts were now at this time possessed by another. You know, that's what happened through oneness. Something greater than who he is, someone greater than who he is, filled him and moved him. And so he couldn't be him anymore. And that's what happens. It's when that process that God puts us through, and we go through all those paces for so long, and it just seems like our whole life we're under that dealing hand of God, and all these circumstances he's bringing, and they're hard and they're difficult, and they wear on us, and they press us beyond our measure, and they bring us to confront our flesh, and the cross is real, and it's applied, and then it's wrought in the circumstances of the fiery furnace, and the, you know, the lion's den, and the things that we have to let it live in us through. And we just keep walking faithfully year after year, dealing after dealing, day after day, heartbeat after heartbeat, with the one we love. And at the end of it, if it really happened according to the constant heart of God within every moment, the constant dealing of the Father within every circumstance, the wings of the Lord that covered you in every process that you weren't even aware were there, the Spirit always deeper than your comprehension moving inside of you and your spirit, bringing forth the Son. The end of that, you're not the same. You're not the same. You are different. The proof is when they open up the cage or the prison cell and you can run out, you don't run. You stay. But now you're a prisoner of the Lord. Now you're a captive of the Lord Jesus Christ and not of Nebuchadnezzar or Darius or Belshazzar or Cyrus. You're the Lord's love slave. You're the captive of the Lord. You're the love slave of Jesus Christ. You're his prisoner, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the dealing can be over, and the prison cell can be opened, and the birdcage can be unhinged, and you can fly free to the heights of the heavens. But something inside has changed, unknowingly, unperceivably, but deep within, the Lord was possessing your inward parts, because you walked all those 70 years, all those long days, all those constant trials. You were with him. Yeah, you failed. Yes, you saw your weakness and your lack, but you kept cleaving to the Lord with purpose of heart, believing in His word above your manifestation, keeping your heart with Him. And you're different at the end. You belong to the Lord, like Paul belonged to Jesus as his love slave, like Daniel belonged to God as someone who could not break free from his heart deep within his being. That's where Daniel's at in chapter 10. He should celebrate his mourning. He should feast. He's not eating pleasant bread. He's not anointing himself for the next season. He's mourning and fasting and totally given to the Father. I mean, isn't that a picture of Christ in us? There's no season to the Son's love for His Father. There's no breakaway to the Son's oneness with His Father. There's no let-up from Him doing His Father's will. The Son ever liveth to serve His Father, to lay His life down, to be who He is in oneness with God and as a lamb slain. That's who's in us. That's the one who was being formed through it all. That's the one who God was taking the throne of our hearts with. That's the one who was possessing our inward parts. That Son that always does the will of the Father, who has the Spirit without measure. He's the one who is ruling and reigning now in us. Ruling and reigning by His life, constraining us to go where we would never go, to do what we would never do, because it's no longer I, but Christ who liveth in me and lives by selfless giving in me, through me. It's a new season, and it's funny that now that the dealing's done, now that the Lamb's taken the throne, now that Christ is being formed, what does Daniel look like? This vessel that has been in the potter's hands for 70 years. What does this vessel look like? He looks like a man who is weeping, who is carrying the burden of God's heart, who is not letting up until till he makes Jerusalem a praise according to how God sees Jerusalem and not just man's version of rebuilding the temple, but God's need for that to be a true place of Christ living in the earth and manifesting His nature through His people. He's not letting go. He is not letting go, and He won't let go, because that's Christ in Him now. That's what the vessel's meant to look like, staying in captivity for the greater good of God's needs, staying in the dealing, not a dealing anymore, but a bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This is what the release looks like. We think the release is going to look like some incredible new season of glory and grace and abundance and beauty and freedom and fresh air. And, you know, there are seasons like that, but really, when Christ is formed and the dealing has done what it was meant to do from the heart of God, the release looks like more bearing about in those very same circumstances, but doing it with a new spirit, doing it as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing it as God's free man, and yet still serving by love instead of by law. You know, in the 70 years when you're under chastisement or you're in situations you cannot get out of, you serve by law. Nebuchadnezzar's going to take my head off. If I don't do this, I'm dead. Yeah, that's Nebuchadnezzar. That's the early years. You're in Cyrus now. Cyrus, he don't care if you go back. He'll bless you. He'll give you money and a horse. He'll give you protection. He'll give you something to build with. He's fine with you going whatever way you want to go. There's no law to keep you except for the royal law of love, which is Christ within you as your nature, constraining you to keep giving. But now you're giving, and now you're serving, and now you're doing it because Christ is formed in you and has taken the throne of your heart. And it is different. It's a different season. It's Cyrus, not Darius. It's Cyrus, not Belshazzar. It's Cyrus, not Nebuchadnezzar. Cyrus means you're free. And the only ones who are going to stay in death during Cyrus's reign are those in whom the Lamb has taken the throne. That's Daniel. That's what somebody looks like after they've gone through the dealing with the Lord. They look like a lamb, laying his life down for others, staying in death when they don't have to, staying in death when they could go back up and be with their fathers, staying in death when they could easily get off that cross, staying in death when they could easily go back and rest. Because a new nature has been formed within them, the Lamb slain, selflessly giving, now by life instead of by law. Not a tutor and a governor anymore, but the seed himself coming forth in a manifest nature that constrains us. That's the beauty of chapter 10. And the things that God shows him of the vision of God's heart in this, the things that he hears, much of this comes with the diminished Daniel, if I could put it that way, the one who has no comeliness, that his own beauty is corruption, he has no strength, he's falling on his face, he has nothing of breath or life or motivation or ability, nothing's left in this shell. He's only got room for Jesus to be his strength and his life now. There's no more great ideas or zeal or I have something special for God or I can hear better than others, I'm more sensitive, I'm more spiritual, I love him more. It's all been removed. All those things that would take the throne where Jesus himself is meant to be the life. Through all that dealing, they've been dealt with by the cross and the double-edged sword has done its work. Now it's time for the Lamb to fill his temple, his body. And so as God answers this heart cry, this desire to press in and see what he sees, and as a son would with his father, be with him where he's at, in the true work of the ministry, the true Jerusalem that needs built. What can I do to build this true Jerusalem? What can I do to fulfill your heart's desire, Father? That's Daniel's prayer. What can I do? The Father says, die. You can die. You can bear in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ so that life can raise that temple up. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 10. For the dying of the Lord Jesus works in us so that his life can be released to work in others. How is that temple going to be raised? Life comes out of death. The rebuilding comes from that death that Jesus bore on the cross, that burnt stones, that burnt Jerusalem represents, hit the death of the Lord. That's how things get raised up. That's how things get raised up. And so we see that. We see that in Daniel's condition, Daniel's ministry, Daniel's tenor of being, Daniel's heart, Daniel's ways, all of that we see in the way Daniel appears at the end of the dealing. He appears more like a slaughtered lamb than a man with many stories who's lived through incredible things, who's experienced amazing miracles, who God has used in mighty ways. He doesn't look anything like someone who's walking around with a great ministry and a great testimony and a great power and honor, which he should have among his people, but he's staying down in the ground. He's staying low, lower than low. He's staying far away from where anyone could ever give him honor, acknowledge the great man of God he was. He's staying far away. He's staying down, hidden in death, given by the Lamb within him, so that the true Jerusalem of God's heart could really come forth. Not just in a little revival effort like Nehemiah was experiencing and Ezra was a part of, which is, yes, but in the earth, it didn't take, it just was riddled with issues and marrying foreign women and all kinds of heartbreaks that you can read of in Ezra and in Nehemiah. They are heartbreaking books, truly. The real thing is God's heart. And that's going to be built by those who have truly been conformed to his image and are with him in a way that goes beyond just duties and exciting seasons in the earth and moves of God on the surface, but have found the Lord's heart and have not just found the Lord's heart, but have been conformed to the image of Christ and bear within them his nature and move with him as one in his true and eternal purposes in this earth to bring forth Christ in us, a people, a bride, a temple, the Jerusalem of his heart. And so how precious is chapter 10 to us? How significant a chapter is that in the progression and the journey that we've been looking at in Daniel's life? These latter years speak much more even than the former years because they declare the end. It's just a tremendous thing for us to meditate upon, and it's an encouragement to us in our journeys. I think the Lord is specific things, you know, that He wants to impart to each one of us, of encouragement, of patience in running the race, of not getting bogged down with the things of this life, but staying on track with the eternal things God's doing in the midst of all those things in this life. God's doing something eternal. He's bringing forth His Son, and all those things are a part of it. They're not hindrances. They're helpers. They're stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. They're part of it to the heart that is towards the Jerusalem of God's heart, that has allowed the Lamb to take the throne. They're part of it. They're part of it. So, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You for allowing us to be a part of You in the seasons of our life, in this journey that's come from heaven to earth to gather us up as those who are after Your kind, in whom the Lamb has possessed the very inward parts of our beings, so much so that we can't move apart from, in that sense, being the love slaves of Jesus, not just those who follow commands or stay in the dealing or the amount of time is required, Lord, but there's no more time at this point for Daniel. There's just love and oneness and the nature of Christ within. And that's what we have. We have love and oneness and the nature of Christ within. That's our end, Lord. Our end is You. Love slays forevermore. Lord, we are Yours because Jesus is forming in us. And He ever gives Himself. He always pours out. He's always doing Your will. He delights to do it. He's not just required to do it. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So continue to encourage us in our journey. Continue to speak to us intimately right where we're at, with Daniel's testimony as something to gird us and to bring us forth and to push us forward. Lord, we thank You for this time together today in the Word. May Your heart be blessed and Your work, the work of Your Spirit within us, be blessed also. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.